Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
How many of you guys are doing good? You say, hey, this morning? Yeah? All right. How many of you guys would just say, you know, it's been a struggle, it's been tough last few weeks? Yeah. Those of you at home, this is an interesting year, right? It's an interesting year. And I have seen God move heavily through it, but it's one of those years that if you allow it, it can steal your confidence. And if you allow it, it can steal your faith. If you allow it, it can steal your joy, right? I had an old notebook, and I opened it up, and it said in the notebook, it said, this is something I wrote a long time ago, it said that time heals all wounds, right? That time heals all wounds. And I wrote underneath that, I beg to differ. It isn't time. It isn't time. Jesus came to this earth. God looked down upon this earth, right? And he saw a hurting people. He saw people that needed him. And so he sent his son down on this earth. And what did his son do? He brought healing. He brought courage. He brought forgiveness of sins. I was talking to the staff the other day, and I was and we were just having a very candid conversation. I've already talked about this before. Forgive me if you've heard it, but we were having a very candid conversation about how we feel right now and how, you know, a lot of us are feeling insecure and frustrated. And I said, how many of you guys, and I'll ask you guys the same question. How many of you guys doubt God? You doubt that God will come through? And everyone looked at each other, looked at me, and nobody raised their hand. Nobody's like, no, of course we don't doubt God. I was like, how many of you guys doubt yourselves and your ability to connect with God? And everybody went, yeah, that's what it is. You know, we doubt ourselves because we know ourselves, right? We have a track record, and we know our track record. And we know that better than anybody else, right? But in the end, it's... we got to realize that God knows our track record even more, and he paid for it. He paid for our mistakes, our sins, all of them, not just some of them, not just the bad, not just the kind of bad ones, but the really bad ones. He paid for those. And so if you're here this morning, or if you're at home this morning and you are worried or stressed or have anxiety, and it's anxiety about yourself, I just want you to know that you are not beyond God's reach. You don't have that ability to go beyond God's reach. You could run as far and as fast as you could, and God would still be there. Because God is the God of the universe, right? And then some. So today, I'm going to pray. I might stop and pray a couple of times because what I want to do is I'm doing kind of like a little series type thing, it was last month. You guys probably forgot what I spoke about a month ago, and I don't blame you for that. So if you want to go back, if you missed it, I kind of did a part one of this, and it's called Crucial Practice. And part one was Abiding in His Word. That was September, mid-September, whatever that Sunday was, I think the 13th or something like that. And during that message, I talked about the power of the Word, of His Word. And I talked about how it's not the word of God. When the Bible talks about the word of God, it's not simply just talking about reading the Bible. It's talking about connecting with God and Him speaking to us. And I believe that God speaks to us. And I know that might seem crazy, right? That might seem nutty, but I think it's something that, you know, if you believe in God, that of course you should believe that He'd want to connect with us, right? Like, of course you'd believe that because He wants to. He wants to do that. And so if you want to go back and check that out, that'd be great. Today's message is crucial practice, walking by the Holy Spirit. During that message and during this message, I want to experience as we talk. I want to experience the Holy Spirit today. Now, as I'm talking about, doubting ourselves, a lot of us, we doubt our ability to connect with God. We doubt our ability to experience God. We doubt our ability to hear the Holy Spirit, to hear the Lord's voice. How many of you guys would just be honest and just think about it right now and just say to yourself, I feel an inadequacy when it comes to that. I don't feel like it's the same for me as it is for other Christians, right? Like that's how we feel. And so before we get into even before we pray, I'm going to do a heart checklist. And I've got some PowerPoints that I typed up last night. Hopefully they're all spelled correctly, but just a heart checklist before we get into even prayer, because sometimes I think it's important for us to do this. It's important for us to check out our own hearts. It's important for us to come to God with clear and good intentions. Very important. So let's just go through these five things that that we can check off before we come to Him, all right? So first, if you want to experience God, if you really want to experience God, you must be willing to be changed. You must be willing to be changed. This is so important because some of us, if we're honest, we don't want to be changed. We don't want to be messed with. How many of you guys are married? How many of you guys have ever had that conversation? I just wish you were more like this, right? And then usually the other one snaps back with, well, you married me, didn't you? You know, I was the way I was. But how many of us, we know that sometimes people want to change us, right? And we are rebellious against that. We're very rebellious. Don't try to change me. Don't try to change me. And that's okay. It's all right to be rebellious against people changing you. I get that. But how many of us does that you know, seep into our relationship with God, and we have that rebellious attitude with God without even knowing it. To experience God is to be changed by God, but not changed like away from who you are. The change that God does is He brings us closer to who we're supposed to be. He takes the junk, the nastiness, the disillusion, the lack of confidence. He takes that away from us. I mean, it's amazing what He does. It's amazing, and I've talked about this before, and I know this gets misconstrued, but I don't think you guys realize how much I dread, I think that's a good word, I dread standing in front of people and talking. I dread standing in front of the internet and talking on video. I dread it because naturally I just don't like the way it feels, but the only way I'm able to do this is that I spend time with God and I get out of the way. And I let Him change me. And I let Him change me. It's funny because there's a different version of Josh that shows up on Sunday morning when I'm speaking versus when I show up on Sunday morning and I'm not speaking, to be honest. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. I'm a different guy. I'm a goofy guy when I show up. I'm cracking jokes. When I show up and I'm speaking, everybody's like, don't talk to Josh. Number two, if you want to experience God, you must seek Him without distraction. If you want to experience God, you must seek Him without distraction. I was as I was writing this note down yesterday, my daughter, my three-year-old daughter, runs in the room. She says, Daddy, will you play with me? And it was funny because I'm writing down, you know, this note about not being distracted, and then my three-year-old comes in. And my first thought is like, no, I can't play with you right now. I'm busy with the Lord's work. Right? But then God quickly put on my heart, this is not the distraction I'm talking about. This is your family. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Take a break, Josh. No big deal. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? When I talk about distraction, I'm talking about full on, you are headed in the wrong direction. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Right? And it can be big or small. A big distraction would be, going on a trip to Hawaii when you're supposed to go to Mexico to do missions, right? Like, that would be a big distraction. A small distraction, which is much more likely, is when you know you should get in the Word, but instead you turn the TV on, right? A small distraction is when you know you should pray for somebody, but you decide to, you know, turn the radio on instead. Small distractions are when you go talk to somebody and have a long conversation with somebody, and, you know you need to move on from that conversation. Sometimes we need to do that. There are people, I think, and I don't know if they mean to or if they're sent straight by the devil, but there are people, and we used to have a term for them, and we don't do this anymore. We used to talk about you guys behind your back. We don't do this anymore. We used to have a term in staff meetings called energy vampire, right? It's horrible. It's really horrible. Like, people that, like, just come and they just suck your time. And, like, they like when they're there, you talk to them, and then it becomes something else and something else and something else. And then all of a sudden, by the end of the day, you're drained physically and you just have zero time left, right? There are people, I believe, that are sent by the devil. And those people, right? Those people that are trying to distract you. You just got to be nice and say, hey, I love you. You're awesome. I'm going to pray for you. Got to move on. It's okay. It's okay to move on from those conversations. Those are the kind of distractions we're talking about. The third thing is you must realize that life is much more than the next entertaining event. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? We get into this mindset where it's like, oh, I just can't wait for the weekend, right? Can't wait for the next trip, or I can't wait for the next time I get to have fun with my friends, right? Like, those are not bad things. It's okay to look forward to things, and it's okay to have fun. It's great. But I look back and I think about the most joyful occasions of my life were unplanned. They were unplanned. How many of you guys have planned, or you worked really hard in planning some sort of event, or planning some sort of trip, or planning something only to be let down? Right? We get these expectations and we're let down. Life is not about the next entertaining event. If you want to experience God, you have to be free from that. You have to be free from expectations, the things that you want to see happen. And there's a beauty in that. There's a beauty in saying, you know what? Yes, I have these plans with friends, or yes, I have this trip planned, or yes, I have this thing coming up on the weekend, but that is second to experiencing God today. That is second to just focusing on what He has for me. And when you go hang out with friends, when you go to parties, when you go to things, and I believe that we should go to stuff. I believe that if somebody invites you, if the sinners invites you to the sinner's party, I think you should go. I really do. Because you might have an opportunity. Unless it's a place that you know that you shouldn't be, you can't handle the temptation, that's a different story. You have to be honest with yourself about that stuff. And if you can handle the temptation, go and be a light and talk to the people, right? And ask God for opportunities to be a witness, to be a light. I think we forget that sometimes social events are our best opportunity to speak about God, to talk about Him, to share His love, right? I'm not a social person. I really hate social events, but my wife is very social, and so she just drags me to all these social events, you know? And I've learned to find the best in it. I've learned to find the purpose in it, and it definitely makes a difference. Four, you must not believe that you have the ability to go beyond the reach of God. I talked about this at the beginning, kind of blew that one, but you don't. You're unable. You don't have the ability to leave God's reach. There's a scripture that I don't have in my notes. I'm just going to read it. So don't worry about it backstage. It's Romans 8:35. Says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure, this is the verse, Romans 8:38. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from that love. Absolutely nothing. They can't, you can't, it can't. Nothing can separate us from that love. The fifth thing before we pray and start the sermon is you must be willing to be humbled by God. This is a tough one. This is a tough one because I don't think it's because we are afraid of humility. I think it's because we don't understand humility. Now, I didn't say you must be willing to be humiliated. It's different. The devil wants to humiliate us. He wants us to feel shame and guilt and all these things. He wants us to feel less about ourselves. Humility is much different. Humility is actually having a lot more confidence because you know where your power is coming from. You know where your strength is coming from. That it's coming from God. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about today, is the power of walking in the Holy Spirit. And so, now that we're ready, let's pray and let's ask him to fill our hearts. Let's ask him to take our minds, take our hearts, and let's ask him to show us what he wants to show us, all right? Father, we come to you right now. And Lord, I just lift up the church to you, God. I lift up every single person that's watching this morning. Some are doubtful. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would give them the ability to lay their doubt down for just a few minutes and have an open mind. Lord, some are frustrated. I pray that whoever's frustrated would be able to lay that frustration down and receive your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray for every single person that needs you today, which is all of us. I pray, Lord, that we would offer our minds, we would offer our hearts, we would offer our complete selves to you, and I pray that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd fill our hearts, I pray that you'd fill our minds, I pray that you'd fill us, and I pray that whatever the result of that is, that would happen, Lord, that would happen, that idols would fall, that you would raise us up, you would give us just an ability to not worry, not stress, not think about the other person, not be angry with our family members, not be angry with the people we see online. Lord, fill us. Instead of filling us with letting us be filled with fear, Lord, fill us with joy. Fill us with strength. Fill us with the encouragement, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, we love you and we need you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to get into some scripture now, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Mark 7, 20 through 23, and he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." And Jesus is making the point here, and he's saying that it's not outside factors that cause us to sin. It's not the outside world. I mean, I know that some of us have been damaged by other people. There are actual victims in here, and I get that, and it's painful, and it hurts, right? It's not fair. It's not fair at all, but that is not, no matter how bad it is, scripturally speaking, it's not an excuse to sin. It's not an excuse to sin. What happens to us from the outside world happens to us, and it's sometimes a tragedy. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it's more than frustrating. It's devastating. But whatever happens to you out there in the world, right, whatever it is, God's grace will be sufficient. He will raise his grace level up to meet whatever trial you're going through. So nothing is an excuse. So out of the heart of man comes the bad stuff that we do, the bad stuff that we think. Out of our heart, it's us. And it's important for us to understand that. It's important for us to understand that our hearts get tarnished. They get dirty, just like your truck, your car, just like your possessions. If they're left out in the elements, the elements just dirty them up. It happens. Psalm 51, 10 through 11, David knew this. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. So in these two scriptures, we see that there's a connection between the heart and the Holy Spirit. The heart and the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we want to have a clean heart. We want to be clean before God. And David had to pray this prayer, and God had to perform a miracle to do that. But David didn't have Jesus as a Lord and Savior. Okay? He was in the Old Testament under a different set of rules than we were under. We have Jesus. And so with Jesus, he died on the cross. He took our sins. We believe that we are clean. We have a clean heart. We just have to acknowledge that. And we have to let his blood flow through our veins. I always pray that prayer. I don't even know if it's a scriptural thing, but I always pray that prayer. Lord, let your blood flow through my veins. Be a cleansing agent to me. Remind me of the forgiveness. Remind me of the grace. Remind me of the mercy that you've given me, right? He has given you everything you need. Everything you need to have a clean heart. And sometimes it's just a matter of admitting that and saying, Lord, I know that without you, I would be in big trouble. But with you, I have a clean heart and your Holy Spirit can work through me. The Holy Spirit is known as the helper. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit as a gift, the church. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But he's the helper, and he's one that we can call upon when we need help, right? So Galatians 5, 16 through 25, and I have to hurry because of time. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. How many of you guys know that fight, that battle? You've got a flesh and you've got a spirit and they don't get along. And you're walking around, those two, you're like a schizophrenic, like one of these people on the side of the road, right? It's talking to themselves. By the way, I'm going to start casting out demons when I walk by those people from now on. See how that works. It'll be fun. Verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, they're evident. Sexual immorality, sounds familiar, right? From that other verse. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Fits of anger. That is a product of the flesh. How many of you guys have had a fit of anger lately? Rivalries. Rivalries. Dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I don't think that means that they'll go to hell. I think that means they will have no ownership in the kingdom of God. I think that's what it means. Okay? Because there's a difference between sinning and practicing sin. If you practice sin and you don't care about it, you probably don't have a full relationship with God, and you need to get that figured out. Okay, but if you do something like you have a fit of anger, it doesn't mean that you're going to go to hell because you have a fit of anger. Okay, that means you sinned, you messed up, your flesh is jumping up. It just means that if you practice these things, if you regularly do these things, you're not going to have ownership in the kingdom of heaven. That's what I believe it means. And I know there's other people who disagree with me, but anyway, that's that. Verse 22, though, this is what I want to get to. But the fruit of the Spirit, so there's these bad things that your flesh do, right? These things that your earthly body tends to be bent towards, right? But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is different. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Against such things, there is no reason for law. Because if you're living by the Holy Spirit and you are full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of kindness, all these things, you're doing well. You're doing well. But how many of you guys know that we don't wake up like this? We don't wake up in this mode of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, right? We have to work at it. We have to pray. We have to get into the Word. We have to worship. You know, we do these things so that we can remind ourselves of who we really are. So that we don't try to take up the old ways and do the old things that brought us to bad places, right? Verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Okay? If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Another, the NASB says, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us be with him, right? If we live by the Spirit, let us hang out with him. Let us remind us to invite him into our lives. Acts 1 and 6, this is where the Holy Spirit is sent upon the church. So let's look at that. Acts 1, 6 through 8 says, so when they had come together, this is the church, they came together, they asked him, this is the disciples and the followers of Jesus. So this is like 100 people, 150 people, I don't know. But it says, when they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth and to Bakersfield, California. Right? You will receive power and you'll be witnesses. So they were worried that there are these prophecies about God restoring the actual kingdom of Judea, the actual kingdom of Jerusalem, restoring them to a place where they once were, where the kingdom was good. Maybe back when David was king, when times were good, right? And they were hoping that Jesus was coming to restore them to that place. And I was thinking about that idea of restoration. That idea is all throughout the New Testament. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, is restoration. And I think, you know, when we want God to restore us to a place where we once were, I think we're thinking too small. I think that they were thinking too small. They wanted God to restore them to the time of David or when the kingdom of Israel was strong. But really, the true restoration of the Holy Spirit would be to restore us all the way back to the time of Adam and Eve before the fall. And that true restoration would have been a time where you can walk around just bare naked and be cool with it. Which is a weird thought. It's a weird thought. But a time where it's just like everything is okay. Nothing matters. Except you and God. That's what the Holy Spirit is restoring us to. But they didn't understand that at this point. And so Jesus said, wait here. Something amazing is going to happen. I'm going to impart to you my Holy Spirit. Acts 2:5 is where this kind of starts to happen. It says, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? I didn't read the scripture before this. Before this, the Holy Spirit comes on like a rushing wind, fills the people. And then they all start speaking in languages, actual languages. Not, you think of like they're speaking in tongues, but I don't know if you've ever been to a gnarly Pentecostal service where they speak in tongues and they're speaking something that doesn't make sense. It's not a real language. These guys are actually speaking a real language. It says, because those who were there were hearing them speak in his own language. So this is the disciples, this is the people that follow Jesus, they're speaking in other languages. And it says, they're amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Like they all should be speaking the same language and the same dialect, but they're speaking in all these other languages. And it says, how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, all these different people from different countries and different regions and different dialects were hearing the Lord speak to them in their language, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And verse 12 says, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? And others were mocking. They're saying they're filled with new wine. They're drunk. So the Lord sent his spirit, and the result was understanding. They heard him speaking to them in their own language. He met them where they were. Something really miraculous was taking place here. Acts 2, 42 through 47, this is the result of the Holy Spirit. It says, and they devoted themselves. I'm just going to get through these scriptures, then I'm going to share with you a couple things that I believe this is saying in the end. But it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is after the Holy Spirit came upon the church. So this was the result. They devoted themselves to the teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I was driving through my neighborhood a couple days ago, and I saw a sign in someone's yard that said, church is essential. And it resonated with me because church is essential. We need to be together. If there's one thing that God has called us, it's to be together. It says in verse 43 that awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. The only way I figure that can happen, that you have all things in common, is because everyone had laid down their identities. Everyone had laid down who they were, and they found their identities in Jesus Christ only, and therefore they had all things in common. They were selling their possessions, their belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It's almost like the first church were socialists, right? Yeah, you don't like that. Okay, but here's the deal. It was different. They voluntarily gave. They voluntarily loved the people around them. They voluntarily took care of the people in the church. And the church is called to do that. Right? The church is called to do that. It's sad because we don't do that like we should. And it's because we're not living by the Spirit every day. Acts 42, another result in that, in the Holy Spirit, it says, now the full number of those who believed, and I'm not a socialist, by the way, just so you know. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. There it is again. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. So this was the result. The result was the people took care of each other. I'm not telling you need to go out and sell your house and give everything to the church, okay? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that we need to be people who understand the importance of living by the Holy Spirit, of walking by the Holy Spirit, and putting our money where our mouth is, right? And saying, hey, everything I have, Lord, is yours. And allowing him to lead us on how to spend our life, how to spend our resources. Very important to do that. So there's a conclusion. There's five things that I want to leave you with, and then I'm done. And I have a few minutes to do it. Actually, I got to keep my glasses on. I'm getting old, man. Getting old. I feel like I am. I talk to the 65-year-olds, and they're like, shut up. The conclusion is that the Holy Spirit, there's number one, the Holy Spirit came upon the church as they were together. Very important. The Holy Spirit came upon the church. See, we got lights flashing. We got all kinds of crazy stuff. The Holy Spirit came upon the church as they were together. It's a group deal, isn't it? This is why it's so important for us to get together, because there's something special that happens when we get together and pray together. We're going to start praying through the month of October on Mondays and Wednesdays. Be here if you can. If you can, be here, 6:00. We're going to come together and pray. That's what the first church did. They came together and prayed, and the Holy Spirit moved. Because they were together. Two, the second thing is the Holy Spirit opens our eyes so that we can be witnesses. He opens our eyes so we can see the things of God, so we can tell people about the things of God. How are you going to tell people about the things of God if you can't see them, if you're blinded? But the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see the things that we need to see. When you pray in the morning, when you see God in the morning, say, Lord, show me what you want to show me today. And then we choose to keep those spiritual eyes open all day long. He's going to show you miracles. He's going to show you things that you would not have seen otherwise. And then you're able to be a witness. You're able to share that with other people. Three, the Holy Spirit spoke to non-believers through believers. The Holy Spirit spoke to non-believers through believers. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a conversation with somebody and you felt like you needed to say something to them. And you're like, that's weird. I don't know if I should say that, but it just comes out. Sometimes that's the Holy Spirit speaking through us. And sometimes that person needs to hear it. For the Holy Spirit was imparted from believers to non-believers. So not only did the Holy Spirit speak through believers to non-believers, the Holy Spirit was imparted. When people became saved, they baptized, they touched them, and they actually imparted the Holy Spirit upon them. Now, I'm not trying to get too Pentecostal today, but there's something to that. There's something to that physical touch, that closeness. Number five, the Holy Spirit... Can't read my handwriting. Promoted. The Holy Spirit promoted humility, and the result of that was unity. How many of you guys watched the debate this week, huh? Yeah? It's funny because after watching that debate, I thought, man, our president, I like some of his policies, I do. But he needs a little bit of humility. And I think that he might be going through that right now, you know? So let's pray. Let's end here. Let's pray for our country and let's pray for our president that he connects with God during this time. All right, let's pray that. Father, I just come to you right now and I just lift up our president, Lord, and I pray, God, that you would move, your Holy Spirit would move, God, and you would touch him, Lord, and you would guide him, Lord, and that you would speak to him, Lord, and you'd bring him close to you. God, I pray that he would be humble and that he would find just a power in that humility, knowing where the power comes from. And Lord, I pray for Joe Biden as well. I pray that you would grab a hold of his heart, grab a hold of his mind, Lord. Why can't we pray for him? Lord, I pray, God, that you would just move in the politics, Lord, move in the country's politics, move in the state's politics, move in the local politics, Lord. We offer that to you, God. I pray that you'd move in Gavin Newsom's heart. God, I pray that you'd move in our local leaders' hearts, Lord. God, we're in a weird time and we need you, Lord. We need you to bring this humility to all of us, Lord, to remind us of who you are. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would remind us of who we are individually. You'd remind us that we are your children, that we are your spokesmen. And I pray that we would be willing to be used by you. We'd be willing to be a part of the team. We'd be willing to be open for you to speak through us and for us to impart you on other people. God, we love you, Lord. We need you. We need your grace. And I pray for anybody that has not given their life to you, that they would do that today, that they would make that decision and just say, I believe in you. I believe that you sent your son down on this earth to die for my sins. I receive that. I accept that, and I make you my Lord and Savior. I put you in that position. I pray, Lord, that if somebody needs to do that today, they would make that decision right now, Lord. God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you are making a decision for Christ today, let somebody know. Let us know on Facebook if you're on Facebook, and let us know here in person as well, okay? Please.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.